Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
So we're going to do a special feature here.
Yes.
All right.
I've got my special question.
You have one?
Yeah.
Okay. So normally, as we welcome Miami Dolphins quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Normally at 8 o'clock Denver time, we do question mark. Question for Mark that he specifically answers. But
People reach out to me because they need knowledge.
Right. So,
I can see that.
In honor of you, we're doing question fits. So, take it
away. My special question, and we'll get somebody on the text line as well, but my special question was, you led the Dolphins not only in passing and rushing, and the fact that at 37 you led the Dolphins in rushing, I want to know if you're the dumbest smart guy from Harvard ever. Like, why in the world would you carry the ball that many times?
Well, I only ran for 200 and something yards, so I don't know if... Yeah, I think there was more of an issue than that to me leading the team in rushing. But I don't know. I love it. Like, I love running around. And
it's so, I got to tell you, it's so much fun to watch you play. And what you guys did when everybody and their brother's uncle was talking about it. Well, the Miami Dolphins clearly just trying to tank.
Yeah.
And the way you guys rallied together and the way you guys finished the season and won games.
Yeah.
It was really fun to watch. What was it like being a part of that, and what was it like, you know, trying to establish a new culture under Brian Flores?
Yeah, I mean, the first part of the season was difficult. I mean, we got to 0-5 and we're losing in historically bad ways. Introducing yourself to guys in the huddle and bringing new guys in and out, and it finally normalized a little bit. So when we started, we played Buffalo and we played Pittsburgh. And had leads in the first half in both those games, and it was like, okay, we finally settled down a little bit. We're now an NFL football team. Like, let's go, let's work hard in practice, and let's figure this thing out. So the last 9 games of the year, being 5-4, that was quite the accomplishment for where we had come from, you know, being 0-7. I think Coach Flores did a great job, a consistent message all year long. He was a guy that not only showed it through his work ethic, but through the actions on Sunday, going for it on fourth downs, fake field goals, onside kicks. Mm-hmm. He was aggressive, and he was playing to win every single game. And I think that really trickled down to us as players. And this, you know, using this season now and the last 9 games as kind of a springboard into the offseason with some momentum going into the next year.
Did you guys talk about it privately, maybe even big groups, team meetings, about the idea, hey, guys, everybody outside this room wants us to tank, believes that we should tank. Did you guys talk about that?
It was a topic of conversation only because it was there. It was present every day. We were getting questions about it every single day, and we were living it. You know, the first 2 games of the year, the way we lost to Baltimore and the way we lost to New England, I mean, it was historically bad and not even close to anything that had ever happened before. So it was important to put it out there in the open to talk about it a little bit, but it was also important to know that, like, us as professionals and competitors, nobody was going to feel sorry for us. We had to go out there and earn it and practice, and then hopefully the results were going to come in the games. And it was cool because the process, for as bad as it was early on, it was very rewarding late in the year to go through that adversity and then to see the reward at the end of the year for all that hard work we put in.
Your career has been really interesting, and not only from a starting standpoint, but for a mentoring standpoint, and the things that you have done and the guys that you've had, you know, relationship with, and, you know, the dynamic between you and Jameis Winston and Tampa and all those different things that you've done. How rewarding is that, not only as a starter, but also helping groom another generation of quarterbacks?
Yeah, you know, it's all about paying it forward, because I had a lot of great guys when I was young and trying to figure things out that I got to watch. I got to watch the example of Carson Palmer lead a football team in Cincinnati, and just the things that he did on a daily basis that made guys want to follow him. Just preparation standpoint, watching different guys. There's a lot of things and nuances to this position. It's a difficult position. It's a hard one to learn. It's a hard one unless you have experience doing it. And so stealing little nuggets here or there, or passing down little nuggets of knowledge and things that I've learned from, I love that. I love helping guys out. and it's a big part of the game. It's just that pay it forward mentality, especially at the quarterback position.
But yet you want to play, right? And,
oh, yeah.
And how you find that balance between, hey, I know I'm here to lend a hand and mentor, but man, I got my chance. I can still sling it. I can still make plays.
Yeah, I mean, I love being out there. And yeah, that was, you know, for me last year and making a decision on what I was going to do, that was the big draw for me to go to Miami. That was the one opportunity where there was a potential to compete for a starting job, and that's what I wanted to do. I want to play. I love playing football, and you know, hopefully continue to get to play football. But you know, I've been through every situation. I'm a realist. I know, like, what my career is and who I am and, you know, where I'm at and in the point of my career now that, you know, it's not just about me and going out there and getting to have fun all the time.
Tell me a little bit about just this game in general, you know, from a quarterback's perspective, when you look at both what Patrick Mahomes has done and then in San Francisco what Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo have been able to accomplish this year.
I think it's going to be a great game. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes, he's obviously had a great start to his career, but what he's done in the playoffs has been incredible. And I think the thing that really stuck with me was when they were behind 24-0, him rallying the guys on the sideline. But it wasn't it wasn't phony. I mean, it was heartfelt, and you could see those guys truly believe that, you know, they weren't just going to come back and win, that they were going to come back and blow these guys out. Like, there was that belief on the sideline just through looking at his eyes, and that's a really important quality to have as a quarterback. So aside from, like, all the talent that he has that is just, you know, maybe never seen before, he's got that it factor as well. And the run that he made in that game was amazing. Garoppolo, I haven't seen him play a ton, but, you know, from being in the situation he was in New England, getting back to sit back and watch Tom operate an offense, how he did, great situation that he's in with a great defense and a great running game. He's going to have to show up this game and make some plays, obviously, and he's done it. I mean, he did it in the New Orleans game this year. He's,
right.
You know, he's a guy that definitely has the talent to do it. We'll see what happens in the game, but I think, you know, because of the quarterback factor, I would favor Kansas City in this game.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, our guest, as a Harvard man,
yes.
Are you ever going to get the chance to use that Harvard education to do something, or at this point,
eventually,
you're like,
at some point,
I mean, what do you want to do?
I don't know. Right now, it looks good hanging, you know, on the wall in my office.
Yeah.
I don't know why I have an office. I don't need an office, right? But yeah, at some point, I'll get a chance to use it, but. Right now, you know, and since I started playing, I just put all my focus into football and playing, and then there's going to be plenty of time after I'm done to revisit all that stuff. And so that's always how I've kind of looked at it. And now with family and kids and, you know, coaching youth sports, like, there's other complications that come into it as well, but I'm having a good time with it.
Nice to have a Harvard education and not necessarily have to use it.
Right. No,
I mean,
no.
Nice safety net to
obviously,
fall back on.
Obviously, he couldn't get in to the University of Idaho, so
right.
he had a step down to Harvard, right?
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah,
that's exactly,
sure.
That's
safety
pretty much how it happened.
I just didn't like the mascot at Idaho. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you kind of look like the mascot of Idaho,
well,
by the way.
Speaking of which,
Joe Vandal.
Our question okay. Fits is obvious. How long does it take to grow that glorious beard?
Great question.
So this season, at the end of the season, that's the longest I've ever had it in my life. And that was probably a full, like, 7-8 months of just letting it go. And my wife hating every step of the way what was going on with my facial hair. This right now is a more tame look. Yep. I hate this. My kids hate it, but my wife likes it. So it's more of an off-season look for me.
Really?
But I will say that, like, I couldn't grow a beard until I got to, like, the age of 23 or 24. You know, I always used to get made fun of for not having to shave and whatever else. And I've shown them.
Yes.
Finally,
Have you? Well, now, what kind of product do you use in that? Because it is glorious. No,
I know,
product.
But I don't. You know, it's a natural, like, the oils that are coming off my face.
Right.
And
yeah.
I'm not a big oil guy. I don't want to do that. I don't want the product.
Let me see. The Huff. I'm just trying to look at the Huff.
Yeah.
The Huff got a little bit
if
longer.
You let it go.
You don't have the glorious lettuce on top, though. So he's got the lettuce on
top
to go with it. He's got a big bald spot.
Anytime he's got multicolor, like, he's got some stuff to work with in there.
Yeah.
It makes it pretty nice.
Yeah.
So you just let the natural oils of your face sort of just
the natural
oils of your face. Yeah. Just
I like that.
Just
about
to help grow the beard. That's good. That's good. I got to tell you,
for me, it's just it. I've always appreciated you, but I have always loved watching, because for my own career, I was miserable all the time. I've watched loving you play the game with this childlike enthusiasm that you play it with, and that's fun for me to watch. So I appreciate that.
And look, that's not to say like it's all been a cakewalk for me, but like I have made a conscious effort, especially the last, especially since the 2016 season, which was not a good one for me. It was a miserable season. I've made a conscious effort to make sure that I have proper perspective on what's going on and that I get to play this game that I played as a little kid for fun.
Right.
And I still get to play it. Like, I understand that and I get it. And I just try to keep that perspective as I play now.
And you know what? You guys may go down, and you may be the quarterback that goes down as the guy that officially ended the Patriots dynasty. Make no mistake. I mean, you guys beating them like that, knocking them out of the bye. They always needed the bye to go to a Super Bowl. I think they've gone to 9 straight. You beating them that final weekend knocked them into the wild card, and now they're gone. And
you might be the guy that knocked Brady out of New England.
Yeah.
This is awesome. This is breaking news. Ben, can we get the breaking news?
Yeah.
Can we just get a little breaking news music? You got that?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now, Ryan Fitzpatrick, the guy who knocked Brady out of New England.
That's right.
Forced him out.
Yeah, forced him out.
How about the guy that played Eli Manning in his final game to get him to 117 and 117? He beat me to get his record to 117 and 117.
That was very altruistic. Not only
there you go.
A great, enthusiastic quarterback, altruistic guy.
Yeah, Eli's final game.
Right.
He giveth and he taketh at the same time. What are you doing out here with Main Event?
So, Main Event, which they're popping up all around the country, I'm helping them with their promotion right now. So, being Super Bowl 54, Main Event's got a deal going on at all their stores where you buy a $10 game card, and it's 54% off all activities. And the activities at Main Event are, you know, they've got bowling, they've got, you know, the Papa Shots and all the different laser tag, and it's a great place for family. My family loves going there. Then the big one that they've got as well, if either team ends the game with 54 points, then you go on Wednesday and everything's going to be free.
Oh,
so
cool.
We're hoping for a 54-53 Super Bowl, and we're all going to roll up to Main Event and have some fun.
That sounds like a great time. I love that. I'll take my granddaughters. All right, man. It's always a pleasure, brother. It's always good to see you, man.
You
all the best to you in the coming years.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Ryan Fitzpatrick, join us right here on Radio Row, and all of our guests appearing on the Hooters hot seat, and we roll on. That was a good question, by the way. Good question by you. Good question by our listeners. For question Fitz.
Oh, yeah, about the beard.
Presented by Breaks Plus, by the way.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, the beard looks awesome.
Yeah.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.